All right, guys, welcome to the Back Porch Show. This is Jam and Jay. And you know what? I got a special guest on with me, Mark Searcy. Did I get your last name right, Mark?
Pretty close. It's Searcy.
Searcy, okay. Close enough, right?
Yes, sir.
Well, Mark, you have some pretty cool music. I was listening to it. Susan gave me the music yesterday, and I got some listening, and I really enjoy your music. It's got a great sound to it.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, what we're going to do is we are going to start off by getting a little musical history. And what I mean by that is, were you born a musician, or did you kind of like have to work at it? Obviously you had to work at it, but were you musically inclined as a child?
No, sir, it wasn't, Jay. I actually started playing in high school, playing all the, you know, great tunes growing up in the 70s with all the super bands and, you know, playing music from the Doobie Brothers and Hendrix and, you know, Led Zeppelin and groups like that. I played for about 5 or 6 years, and then I put it away. I didn't play again for about 13 years.
Wow.
So, yeah. And I started back probably in about 1994. I'd actually done some damage to my left hand and amputated the end of a finger.
Ouch.
And decided to pick up guitar to play a little bit at church and to try to rehab that hand. And then during the process, I kind of got on the blues trail and really got into it.
And well, that's kind of interesting because you obviously damaged your hand to a guitar player. That is a lot of times a fatal injury to their career. And you turned around and made it into something. You actually didn't let it stop you.
Well, the ironic part is it was also the third finger on the left hand, which if you're a right-handed guitarist is a pretty important finger. So it sort of pushed me not only into the rehab, but also kind of steered me into discovering slide guitar too. So that and meeting some great people, including Herbie Kelly, but that was kind of the initiator of that. So, yeah, it was a blessing.
Wow, it sounds like it. I mean, so many people would have just laid down after that, you know, and so my hat's off to you, bud. That's a hard thing to do.
Yeah. Well, it's been interesting. I had to kind of, I'd played throughout those high school years and had to relearn the guitar, kind of approach it differently, but,
sure.
You know, it's okay.
Right. Now, for the next big question, there is only one small difference between an amateur musician and a professional musician, and that difference is the professional musician gets paid for it, the amateur musician does not. And so what I'm interested in is, when was the first step into professional music? I mean, when did you actually get paid the very first time?
Oh, geez. Well, I guess I started really, probably honestly, just about 2 to 3 years ago. I like I said, from throughout the late 90s, just worked on my chops, so to speak. And then I guess about 3 years ago, I really started playing out solo. And it's really, you know, brought me to where I am right now. But I think the next coming year is going to be more playing with bands and getting going more in line with some of the music that's on the recent CD release.
Right, right. What made you decide to go kind of, your music is kind of jazz oriented to me. It's jazz / blues. What made you decide to move in that general direction? Is that where the music drew you? I mean, is that where your musical talents lie, you think?
Yeah, Jay, it's pretty interesting. Let me give you a little background too. I met Kirby Kelly. I don't know. Are you familiar with Kirby?
Oh yeah.
He's you know, a great Texas musician. For those of you that don't know him, he's a fly guitar player. And I first saw Kirby perform acoustically on stage in probably about 1998, I believe, in Austin. And man, my life was changed that day when I watched him play. You know, and he had just such passion for music. And you know, I knew right then that was something I wanted to try to do. And so I started focusing on slide, very specific to acoustic blues guitar. And I really focused on that style of playing for about 5 years. And then last year I released an all-acoustic blues CD called Blind Man's Blues. And pretty much that's the style of music I've been playing for, you know, last couple of years, acoustic blues, a lot of slide-oriented stuff. And then just this last fall, I picked up the summer Dave Schlaubach, harmonica player that plays with me, just a really gifted musician. He and I had opportunity to go to Mississippi and play over at Club Ebony, and during the process, we ended up playing with a couple of bands, and I hadn't picked up an electric guitar in a couple of years, really. But after that weekend, I said, you know, I got to get back into this. So I came straight back to Texas and pulled the electric out of the closet and recorded the most recent CD. So, you know, and the CD, the style of music that's on there, you're talking about being jazz oriented, maybe from the song Promised Land or something. It just all came out from the heart, so to speak. No real plan, and that CD is just a collection of whatever I was feeling during that 3 or 4 week period that I recorded it. So no real plan, just more of what kind of came out and spoke to me as I was playing.
Well, sure, that's probably a good way to do it. I mean, at least you came up with your musical style the natural way instead of being forced. A lot of musicians today are forced. They say, well, you know what, you're going to do great in pop, or you're going to do great in country, you're going to be great in jazz or blues. You kind of came to it on your own, which means that the music that you're producing, that's probably why it sounds so clean and so solid, because the music actually has a meaning to you.
Yes, sir. And Jay, I got to say it, for independent musicians, I think that's the beauty of the independent industry right now, is, you know, you've got all the creative control over it. So you kind of have the ability to play whatever you want to, and that's kind of how I'm approaching it. So if you listen to the tracking through, like, for example, the Slide Away release, it kind of, it's blues-oriented, but it's not really a blues CD. And I've had some comments say, hey, you know, that's not all mainstream, you know, blues. And I said, exactly. I mean, it's whatever came out. So the first tune is sort of jazz oriented, but a lot of blues undertones. And then there's a lot of rock influence in it. And then there's a little bit of country influence in it, too.
Right. Absolutely. Well, you know, you can feel all of that in the music. And since you brought it up, the CD that he sent me is his most recent release, which is called Slide Away. He mentioned it just a minute ago. And it is an awesome CD. It's a spectacular CD. And what I want to do, I've got four tracks preloaded. And what I'm going to do is, I think probably I'm going to start off with, which one would you like to start off with? Just out of curiosity.
Well, to get kind of a feel for it, probably the first track, Promised Land, would be a good track to start with.
Okay, well, that's the title track. That was a good start. I think he's right. I'll go with that. We'll be right back, guys. Hang tight. This is an awesome CD. This is an awesome cut. You're going to love the sound. We'll be right back in just a second.
Understand for the man, all the men from the problem.
All right, guys, we're back. Awesome song. That was the title track off of Slide Away. Mark, anything to say about the title track?
Promised Land. No, it's just a song, you know, really just about sort of our individual responsibilities in society. And so that's it.
Well, there you go. And did you wrote this yourself? You personally wrote this?
Right, yeah. 9 of the 10 tracks I wrote. There's one, say, cover, but it's actually a cover of a B.B. King song that's done acoustically. But the rest of it is all music that was written pretty much during the month of October, really.
Oh, really? Got it down to a month?
Yeah, pretty much. All of it was written and recorded within that October time frame.
Wow, that's amazing. I'm curious, as far as music goes, I've talked to a lot of musicians in my day, and I'm kind of curious. I get a different answer from every one of them, so we're going to ask you this question and see how it pans out. As far as music goes, as a musician, do you get the lyrics to a song, or do you get the score to a song first? I mean, what actually comes to you most likely first?
For me, always music. I'm not a very good lyricist, so I always start with the foundation of the music because that's really what I enjoy. You know, contrast that, I've got a good friend, Daniel Walker, that's a singer-songwriter, and, you know, he approaches it exactly opposite. He always starts with the foundation for the words and the lyrical content because that's what's important to him, and then he puts the music around it. So we actually collaborated on a song called Telluride Blues on this song, and as an example, I laid down the music, and then I wrote the song on the way back from Telluride Blues Festival.
Right.
As I was putting it together, you know, Dan came over and, you know, listened to it, and I was struggling a little bit with the lyrical content, and I didn't like the vocals on it. And he helped me spice up the lyrical content, and then he did such a good job, I asked him to sing it for me, and you know, he made vast improvements in the lyrics and also the singing. So it's great. I like to collaborate like that.
Right, absolutely. Well, you know, by the same token, as far as music goes, I mean, where does music strike you? Everybody has a muse, which is an ancient term for the person that brings you the music. And, you know, I've heard all kinds of stories that some people can't write music unless they're driving down the highway. Some people have to have a little quiet room off in the corner somewhere, and some people write better right in the middle of the action where all the noise and stuff is. For you personally, where would the action be? I mean, where does the music come to you?
Oh, man. I think any hour of the day, you know, I think you just have to be open, and when it's there, you got to be able to, you know, capture it. And, for example, just recording that CD, that kind of how it happens. You can go, you know, several days, weeks, whatever, months for that matter, with a dry spell. And then all of a sudden, in the case of this CD, the music just start coming out. And, you got to capture it. That's why I was recorded so quickly, because or that 4 week period, because whatever happened, I think just picking up the electric and being away from it for, you know, a year or two, just new ideas started coming out.
Right.
And, you know, I wasn't trapped in a box or anything, and so I did my best to capture that very quickly.
Wow.
So, and I'm an early morning person. I think most musicians are probably not, but I get up early in the morning. Some of that music was created and written, recorded as early as, you know, 4 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
You know, I kind of get up and get a cup of coffee going and then try to capture whatever I can.
So you're kind of one of the bed jumpers. And what I mean by that is 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, you're laying there in bed, you're asleep, suddenly a song comes to you, you jump out of the bed.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Do you write it down, or, I mean, how do you track it? I've heard from musicians that sometimes a song will come to you, and if you don't get it down immediately, that it will change on you by the time you get home, or by the time you get to a point where you could do something, the notes or the – you can't remember exactly how it came out. Does that happen
right.
to you?
Oh, yeah. And what I'll generally do is, you know, I've got a small multi-track recorder, and I'll capture the idea very quickly. And I could refer to it as an incubation period. You know, sometimes you'll get something, and it comes off, you know, first take, and it's right there. And then sometimes you have to let the idea kind of meld and morph and change. And so that was kind of a case, for example, of Promised Land that laid there for a couple weeks before I finished the recording up. And then other tracks, I think there was a track called If You Love Me, which was written and recorded in one day, so it came off just like that. That song actually came, I've always wanted to do a song that was kind of like a Chevy commercial. you know the soaring slide guitar that they have in all the Chevrolet commercials.
Right.
So I started out trying to capture some feel like that, and then, you know, everything just bubbled off that day, and it was recorded and done.
Wow. So do you work inside of a studio, or do you have a home studio or a combination thereof?
Yeah, everything on that CD was recorded in a very small home studio, just a small, you know, multi-track recorder. And I usually lay the drum tracks down and then, you know, I'll play bass and then multiple guitar. There's usually one or two guitar tracks on each track. There's a few tracks that are solo acoustic, kind of like Blind Man's Blues, for example. The Thrill Is Gone. It's an old 12-string guitar that I took and dropped down to ultra low B tuning and tried to take BB's. You were talking about BB earlier, and tried to take BB King's Thrill Is Gone and do something different with it.
Right, absolutely, and I loved it. We're going to play it here in a little bit.
Okay.
You know, that being said, in today's world, 10 or 15 years ago, you wouldn't have been able to do that. 10 or 15 years ago, that same small home recording studio that you have there would have cost $500,000. In today's world, digital technology, you know, the soundboards are much, you can go buy a Yamaha soundboard for a couple hundred bucks. Of course, compression computer systems out there. I think most people know of Pro Tools, but there are a lot more of them than that are out there. There's so much available today that replaces that $500,000 studio back in the day. Do you think, I mean, has that freed you up? You can literally do what you want to do?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it is. And it's, good or bad, you know, it's, you can kind of proceed at your own pace, whether that's fast or slow, and capture ideas as come. Where, you know, if you've ever gone into the studio, you have to create at that time, and now everything has to be there right then, where
right.
I may go and record a couple hours one day and wipe it all out because I didn't like any of it.
Right, yeah, because you're not dropping $350 an hour into it.
Right.
Yeah, you can basically the key there is you're doing it at your own pace. You're doing it where, and to me, you know, I listen to a lot of music, and to me, like for instance, the music you've produced on this CD is better than a lot of the music that is produced professionally by the studios, because it's not rushed. You've got time to feel it out. You know, you can say, don't quite like the way that sounded, let's do it again and again and again. And short of your wife wanting to throw you out the front window for making so much noise, there is no pressure on you.
Absolutely. Right.
Now, and you know, my wife would throw me out the front window because I can't play guitar. So she'd be like, all right, you're done, buddy, you're out of here. But, you know, The reality of it is you don't have any of the pressure or anything that goes along. I mean, you have certain pressures, but you don't have the same type of pressure where it's costing you or someone that's producing the album $350 an hour to work in a studio. You don't necessarily have to hire studio musicians. You can use your friends. You can do some of it on your own. Like you were talking about laying the drum tracks. You can do that yourself. Save, another $350 an hour or whatever. And come up with quality music. I mean, really high grade, good quality music, and awesome CDs. Did you have the CD mastered, or did you master it yourself as well?
No, I did everything. I mixed and mastered, and boy, that's labor intensive too. I really called the CD done and listened to it on the way to work, on the way home, and just was not happy with the final, mix and master. And I came in about 5 o'clock that evening, and worked from 5 until about 2 to 3 the next morning straight and remastered the entire CD.
Wow.
Until it was like I wanted it to be. The good side, I mean, like you said, you've got all that freedom. The bad side is for, having a studio that's less than $1,000, I don't have the tools to do some of the things that they can do in a high-quality studio. So a lot of mine's done very manually where I listen and then I take the content and play it through, everything from a car stereo to my home stereo to a small iPod with headphones or something like that to make sure that the music is mixed and mastered well. And that's time consuming, especially when you're not a professional, because I'm not a professional at doing that. And, it's more trial and error. So,
well,
at the same time, I get to kind of break. I haven't been taught anything, so I kind of get to, I don't have any rules. So it frees me up a little bit, too.
Right, that's a true story. And by that very same, token, you as an artist, I think probably you having that much control, and even where you're talking about, $1,000 studio, you have the ability to create what you want, period. Whether it's $1,000 studio or a multi-million dollar studio, you have the ability to create the music that comes from inside you, because contrary to popular belief, and I know this for a fact, that when I listen to your music, I hear your music a certain way. I hear it a certain way. You actually hear it slightly different. It means something different to you. And for you as an artist, the person performing the music, to be able to produce that universal reaction to your music, that's a lot of skill, man. I mean, whether you say, well, I'm not trained or whatever in mixing and mastering, I think you did a pretty good job.
Thanks, Jay.
You can reach out there and grab a hold of your audience and hang on. And guys, if you want proof of that, I'm just going to give you some proof of that. 2007, Telluride Acoustic Blues Competition, he was a finalist. 2007, San Antonio Guitar Wars, winner, best acoustic performance. Texas Music Awards, hey, I was supposed to be there. Music of the Year, finalist, I was supposed to be there last year. Bummer, I didn't see you. International Blues Challenge, semi-finalist. TBS Blues Challenge, winner for the solo duets. I mean, dude, that's awesome. That's where it's at. You're moving.
Well, thanks, Jay. This year has been blessed, to say the least. We just had a great time. I say we, including Dave. I met Dave in May, and, he's been on this road with me and as far as the musical road, and we've just had a really good time this year.
Right. Well, you've produced 3 CDs as well. The first one was called Like Father, Like Son. That was roughly in 2005. The next one was Blind Man's Blues, 2006. So you produced basically 1 CD per year for the last 3 years.
Yeah, and talking about the pressure, we were talking about Slide Away. I kind of had it that I wanted to get something out by the end of the year. So I had a little self-induced pressure of trying to get a release done before the holiday season. So, I wasn't – I made that mistake one time trying to do a release during the holiday season, and that kind of was tough. So I got this one done during the month of October when I had some downtime, not, playing any gigs or anything.
Right, absolutely. Well, it's time for another song, and the song that I've chosen this time is called Betty May. So, guys, y'all enjoy. Hang tight. We'll be right back.
Thank you. girl. I call her Betty Mae. Well, she rides right by my side both night and day. She got a big chrome bumper, a rat out too. We've had white walls, so Betty walked through. She got a big chrome bumper.
All right, guys, we are back as promised. We're in the house. Awesome song. I really like that song. I listened to them several days ago. I listened to them several times, and I enjoy them. I take a CD, and I have it in the car. And, of course, I have it here in the studio with me now, but nobody else can have it. It's mine. And so, guys, I have a copy of this CD. This one's mine. You can't have it, but you can go out and buy it. And I'm going to tell you how you can get your hands on it. You can probably get it, Mark, you correct me if I'm wrong, anywhere along these lines. You can probably get it through myspace.com, Mark Searcy. You can get it at www.markcearcy.com. Sonic Bids, of course, Mark Searcy. My Texas Music, and CD Baby. Sound like all the ones you can get it through?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Now, to spell his last name, just so that you know, it's S-E-A-R-C-Y. If you guys do get confused, kind of forget, like, God, that, you know, that was a great artist. I can't remember his name. You can always email us here at KBIG. Of course, we'll pass that information back on to you because Mark's working hard out there to get his CDs out. We'd love to see him go out the door, and we'd love to see you guys enjoying them all over the planet. Now, back to the stuff at hand now that we've got the commercial out of the way. You've actually gotten some reviews on Slide Away and, you know, several of them. And looks to me like they came out pretty good.
Yeah, I think Lucky Boyd at My Texas Music did a very nice review. He's a great guy, and he's been really good to me. I don't know Lucky that well. I'd like to get him. I first met him at the Texas Music Awards last year, but I'll tell you, he knows his music business, and, you know, I'm, I looking forward to seeing him again this spring. I'm planning on going to Texas Music Awards just to see. I had such a good time last year participating and saw, met such a bunch of great musicians. It's just unbelievable the number of, musicians in Texas alone that, are kind of
right.
jaw-dropping. I'm going up there, for the festivities one way or the other and, buy my tickets and see the show.
Right. Yeah, I think I'm on the red carpet this year, so I'll definitely see you there. Now he's kind of being nice about this whole thing, these reviews. He's not taking all the credit where credit's due. So I'm gonna help him out here. One reviewer said 9 out of 10 are originals, with the cover alone being well worth the purchase. What that means is that 10 out of 10 are awesome, and the cover alone, the cover song alone, which is B.B. King, is worth the purchase price. So, at that point, that's an awesome review. You don't get that. Toby Keith doesn't get those kind of reviews.
Lucky's a great guy for saying that. And I'll give a lot of credit for that song to Dave Schlaubach, who played harmonica, because I think this tune that you just also played was Betty May. And I think the harmonica tracks that Dave laid down were just incredible in both those songs, and nearly haunting on The Thrill Is Gone, the way he gets up into that upper register. And man, I just sit there and listen to him while he's recording and drop my jaw. He's really great.
Right, absolutely, man. And your music to me is it reaches out. And of course, here in just a minute, we're going to play that cover because I want people to hear it, because it is, although it is the thrill is gone, it is definitely, let's call it a little different than the original, because it's an acoustic track. I enjoyed this very, very much, and of course I enjoy all of B.B. King's work, but I found this very refreshing. This was a very refreshing way to look at the song. And, that song's been around, God, I don't know, it's probably been around for 50 years, 40
yeah.
years, somewhere in that neighborhood. And
yeah.
And for you to find a way to refresh it just absolutely amazes me. That a 50 year old song, you took it and completely refreshed it. It's the same song, don't get me wrong, but it's fresh, it's new, it's got a solid feel to it that is slightly different than the original. And so I was thoroughly impressed by that.
Good deal. Yeah, that was fun. Much like the music of Blind Man Blues, that it's one of those, I think the show's called The Back Porch Show. It's one of those back porch songs.
Right.
It has a little hardwood floor in the state, a 10 room, and like on Blind Man's Blues, I just took a microphone and a cold drink and a recorder and hit play and let go. That's the stuff I really like doing. It's just a one track guitar and that's it, and let it speak for itself. And then of course this had the bonus of having Dave come in and lay down some harmonica. That was a lot of fun. He came over and he's got a 1957 Fender Tweed amp, and we took it and stuck it in the bathroom and put a old microphone on it and let him blow through that, and man, it just came out really good. It helps that he's the talent he has, but he's fine.
Well, that old amp had to have a nice warm feel to it, because you don't get tube amps like that anymore. Can't find them. And so it had to have an awesome kind of warm sound to it. A lot of people don't know what that means, but trust me, if you heard it, you'd understand the difference. Right. In today's world, they actually try to duplicate that sound that those amps made naturally. The downside to those amplifiers is trying to find parts for them, like the tubes themselves. They can be a little difficult to find, extremely expensive when you do find them. And, so that does make it a little more complex, but I've got a friend who, Chris Knight, who did something very similar to what you're talking about. He went into a little trailer somewhere and created a whole album. Just sat down. He had a little one-track recorder, just sat down and started playing this, whatever came to him. And he released the album this year. It's called The Trailer Tapes. And, that's probably his best album he's ever put out. Because it's just literally Chris at his doing his thing, no interference. I mean, they had mastered it and engineered it and so on and so forth. But as far as the pure music goes, it's just Chris having a great time. Yeah. And, you know, sitting in the bathroom with your old amplifier playing so that you get that acoustic hall sound, you know, that's where it's at. You know, that's where the fun is in music, I think.
You bet. Being natural. And I think some other artists have done that. Chris Whitley, you know, did the album Dirt Floor, you know, I think in a old barn from what I remember. And
right.
That man, you know, he's just got a national tuned down low and, you know, which is another guitar I love to play. And he just takes it and just a microphone and a recorder and it's that simple.
I mean, you know, and that's amazing. Well, what we're going to do now is we're going to play The Thrill Is Gone. This was a B.B. King original, but Mark covered it, and you guys are going to love it. A little bit different. Like I said, it's a little slightly different, but it has a nice, refreshed sound to it. So you guys enjoy. We'll be right back in just a couple minutes. Alright guys, we're back. Like I said, Thrill Is Gone. Awesome, awesome sound. I really enjoy that. Kind of has a different sound to it, different feel to it. When we were at break, when we were there, we were talking about the music and the fact that music affects everyone differently. And that song has been around for 40 or 50 years and it has affected everybody differently and now it's got a whole new face on it. And so I believe that song's going to turn around and affect people once again 50 years later. Yeah, you know, I really do. I think that's the kind of music that we have going on. And as far as your musical talent goes, obviously B.B. King is someone that you have patterned yourself after as far as your musical styling, along with a lot of others. I hear country, I hear rock, I hear blues. I hear jazz. I hear a little bit of everything in your music.
Man, and that's probably because I just love music. And, you know, I listen to everybody from West Montgomery, Kenny Burrell. And then at the same time, I listen to a lot of pre-war music, Lionel Willie Johnson, Robert Johnson, and then and just everybody, Chris Duarte, a lot of Derek Trucks. Just all music's good to me, especially the genres that we've been talking about. And I listen to everything and, you know, receptive to letting it influence me, too.
Well, you know, you're relatively close as to where you are now in San Antonio. You're relatively close to New Orleans.
Uh-huh.
Have you ever thought going in there and playing a little bit in New Orleans? Because, I mean, you know, that is the home there, sort of.
Yeah, boy, I would like to. That's one place that I haven't had the opportunity to play. I was actually visiting there on business this last spring and went down, you know, since the hurricane, and was down in the French Quarter area and spent, I think it was a Tuesday evening, down on Bourbon Street. And I listened to a bunch of music that week. Anyway, it was great. And I said, this is yet another place I'd like to get down and play. Great music.
Oh, yeah, absolutely awesome music. And, you know, like Nashville is the mecca, I guess, for country music. Nashville and Austin are the meccas for country music. Los Angeles and New York are more the rock scene. And I think the blues and jazz, you'll find that in New Orleans, and like, I believe St. Louis is another good location. You know, that's kind of the meccas for them, I think.
Yeah, and don't forget Bill Street in Memphis.
Memphis? Oh, yeah, I sure did. I forgot all about Memphis.
Yeah.
You know, you're absolutely right. Yeah, Memphis, you know, I mean, so you've got a lot of cool places to play. Now, are you playing regularly down in San Antonio? Is there a place we can come see you?
Well, we did our last gig in San Antonio last night at a place called Copa Wine Bar. We had a CD release party. We had just a blast. It was standing room only, and we had filled the place up, a lot of friends and, you know, family, and it was really just a celebration party, but we had such a good time. We played for about 3 hours, and Dave came down, and it was just a big jam, three-hour jam, so...
Wow.
And that's the last scheduled. Our next real stop, we'll probably do a few things in here. I think I've got one booking that may take place in Austin, and then we're getting ready for the International Blues Challenge on Bill Street in Memphis. And I went by myself last year, but this year, under the competition, it's called Solo Duo, so that means you can play by yourself or have one, you know, have two people. So Dave's going to make the trip up there. I talked him into going, and we're going to stay on Bill Street and head over to the Rendezvous and, you know, absorb some of those ribs. And
right.
Man, it's a good time. Music and barbecue for 4 days. I mean, what else is there?
Oh, I hear you, man. I hear you. Well, let me ask you this real quick before we part ways for the day. How can people – I'm going to give you a few minutes here to, like, shamelessly self-promote yourself. I mean, that's where we're at this point. We're at shameless self-promotion corner here. And so make sure you tell people how they can get your updated information, how they can get out there and find you when you're performing and so on and so forth, so that they know where they can go look. So I'm going to pass the floor off to you at this point.
Okay. Well, yeah, from the schedule and, you know, what's going on, I'm mainly using MySpace right now for keeping updated. So that address is myspace.com/MarkCercy, S-E-A-R-C-Y. And then you can also go to markcercy.com. That's another site. And from the music side, we've got mytexasmusic.com is a retailer for two of the CDs, Blind Man Blues and Slide Away. And CD Baby is another retailer, and they actually have not only the physical media, but they also have the new release, Slide Away, and MP3 downloads now, which I think helps out for the worldwide shipping thing, I think. So, so that's mytexasmusic.com and also cdbaby.com where you can get that music.
Right. Now, guys, if you forget about any of this, if you can't remember, you can always go onto our MySpace, kbigradio.com. Our MySpace. You know where our MySpace is. Go on to MySpace, and he's in our top friends list. So you can always jump in there, catch him in the top friends, click over, and it'll take you right to his site. And then you can check and figure out where he is, where he's performing. Go in there and pack the houses for him. I mean, we're talking like nobody can move kind of thing. And also this new CD he's put out, Slide Away, is an absolutely spectacular CD. You can get it from CD Baby. You can get it from so many different places worldwide. Like he said, you can download through CD Baby, I believe, MP3s. So you can pick each song, so on and so forth. I am going to put one word of caution on here, however, guys. Make sure that you purchase the song you're interested in or purchase the CD entirely. That's kind of one of the ways Mark makes his money. It's a little bit harder to produce the next CD if your CD before that was, let's say, absconded with, I think is a good word. So make sure you get on there. You do it the right way. Make sure you go on, and if you're interested in one song, you buy it from CD Baby, and they'll be happy to download it. I would recommend the whole CD itself. The CD is absolutely spectacular. I plan to go down and see him in San Antonio, or maybe, who knows, you never know, I might make it to Memphis and check him out in Memphis. I'll be looking for you guys there. Any final closing comments that you'd like to add on, Mark?
No, Jake, man, it's just been a great visiting with you, and I appreciate the opportunity to come on and spend some time with you. It's been fun.
Oh, man, it has been awesome, and I do want to extend an invitation to you. If there's ever anything KBIG Radio can do for you, you let us know. You got a home here. We will be spinning your music starting probably Tuesday because I'm kind of lazy on Mondays. We'll probably start spinning your music in our standard rotation on Tuesday. Guys, if you want to hear his music, you know how it works. All you got to do is call and request. It'll be in general rotation, which means it'll pop up whenever it pops up unless you call and request it. If you do request it, we'll be happy to put it on. You can also email us, and we will be happy to put it on for you. Mark, I'm going to play one more of your songs before we get away, and that's going to be Truth. Any backstory on it?
No, just another one that just kind of popped off that afternoon, just a kind of a funky blues. So kind of inspired by some of the work that Chris Duarte's done. He's another big influence of mine. He's just a great musician and really a great guy too. Plays from the heart and just a wonderful guy.
All right, well, here we go, guys. Be back in just a few minutes. Y'all enjoy.
Better build a big boat. I'm taking back all the land.
command, but lots of money.